Welcome back to Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. Today on the podcast, we go back in time, as we always do, to the studios of KSCA FM 101.9 in Los Angeles. We played host to a lot of new artists with new music, but we also welcome the legends. And on this particular morning, it was my true honor to welcome a guy who had just released his book, X-Ray, in paperback, and was touring with his one-man show, 20th Century Man. It's Ray Davies, Radio or Not. It's 9:16 here at LA's Finest Rock, FM 101.9, and wow, I am honored and thrilled to be sitting across from Ray Davies. You know, I was going to give an introduction here, but you don't need one, except to say that...
I do. Of course I do.
Well, I say the driving force behind the Kinks, songwriter, artist, and now we add author to that resume.
Okay.
Okay, does that work?
Yeah,
what did
it's
I
fine.
Leave out?
Human being.
Most definitely.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah. Well, welcome to FM 101.9, and thank you for coming
Thrilled.
In so early in the morning.
Thrilled.
You're in town for four nights at the Henry Fonda Theater, beginning tonight through Saturday. The show's called 20th Century Man. Mm, mm. Why?
Well, I don't know why. I think one of the first songs I do in this show is 20th Century Man. Because the show's loosely based on my book X-Ray. Well, it's based on it, really. The show evolved out of book readings I did when X-Ray came out. And rather than just do readings, I took my guitar along to bookstores and did a few songs as well, and it developed into a show. And 20th Century Man, I think it's the first chapter in my book, is a quote from 20th Century Man. So, you know, people like to have titles for things. Rather call it X-Ray the show, we call it 20th Century Man.
Okay, well, it's interesting because...
It could be called lots of things, you know, it needn't... It's just a title, notional title.
Right. Wait, the book is actually set in the 21st century, right?
Is it?
I mean, it's an interesting book in that it is your... you wrote it. It's an autobiography, but it's set kind of... The story, I picture it graphically. In the middle, there's your story, and it's surrounded by a novel.
Yes.
A futuristic novel.
It's set in the Twilight world. I don't have a future or a past. I exist in the present.
Okay.
It's written in that way. It's not contrived to be that way. It's just that it's kind of a world I carry around with me. I think everybody carries that strange world around with them. It's the subconscious. I know you don't. You're much, much too busy buying houses and running from one gig to another to have the Twilight world. But you do have one, I assure you. And I think it's... When I write, I draw on the experiences from that world. I think it's the leftovers from the real world that get left. It's like dreams, you know, you get leftovers from dreaming about things you thought you'd forgotten about, but it stays in your subconscious, I suppose. Why am I talking like this so early in the morning? But actually, might be adding another show this week.
Oh, really?
Due to phenomenal demand.
at the Henry Fonda Theater?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe Sunday. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Well, your people, I'm sure, will let us know, and we will let everyone know what the status is on that. Okay, let's talk about the show. So you're there with your book X-Ray, and your guitar, and a microphone, and you.
That's and much, much more, but
and
can't
stories.
Reveal everything.
Reveal everything. Want to save some secrets.
Yeah, it's as I said, it just evolved from these book readings, and... people say, oh, you've got to have sets, you've got to have rear projections, you've got to have dancing girls and everything. Well, I don't want all that. I've toured with all that. You know, might as well, I don't want a light show. I've got really nice lighting that you don't notice, which is perfect. And me, you don't notice me either, and it's wonderful.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
So do you do, I mean, the book is chronological, looking back on your life, I guess. Do you jump around in the show? I'm trying to set up a song to play here.
I tap my foot. I don't jump around.
Okay.
No, I do jump around near the end, yeah.
Well, in the book, you tell the story of the Kinks and how they came together. And when you started, you did a lot of covers, as I guess a lot of bands back then.
Well, we were an R&B cover band. You know, I didn't write songs. I only joined a band, the Kinks, to actually, you know, get enough money so I can go and study art in Spain. I wanted to move to Spain. And then I wanted to go to Polish film school because that was the cool place to go if you wanted to be a filmmaker. So I did that and I played in the Kinks. Then suddenly they wanted a song and I wrote a couple of songs for them, and You Really Got Me was the first one I'd really written for the band. And we played it in gigs, and it was the story of the... I do in the show tonight, I talk about how that song evolved.
It's a wonderful story because you do recount it in the book.
Yeah.
Could you share that with us?
Share it. Well, it's a long story, but it's every step along the way was difficult. I mean, the easiest part was writing the song, but getting the record to sound the way we wanted was tricky, to say the least. It was the record company didn't want us to record it because they said it was too bad.
You played it live a lot, and
it was an audience hit.
But they thought it wouldn't work on record, yet it became your first number one hit.
Yeah.
We're talking about You Really Got Me. We'll listen to the final recorded version of it.
You can.
Okay, we will. Yeah. Ray Davies is with us at FM 101.9. Kinks, their first number one hit on FM 101.9. Ray Davies is with us. How does it feel now to listen to that song?
Because I talk about it every night. Because in the show, I listen to it and I cringe halfway through because I tell a story that I can't really tell on the radio about what happened during the recording of that song, in the middle of that actual recording. And I couldn't really tell you on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes me laugh, you know, to listen to it. And also listening to the guys, well, me singing and the band playing, it just seems like yesterday when we recorded it. But you know, it's just it obviously means a lot to me is to actually get the record made.
Do you often go back and listen to
I don't have our records much.
No. Wow.
I'd like to have somebody. I used to have a lot of white labels, you know, those things.
The pre-releases.
But girlfriends and wives take them, and yeah, they always take the best bits.
That's the problem with those girlfriends and wives.
Yeah,
you know?
And the boyfriends. But that's, no, it's just that all these people, you know, they tend to take souvenirs. They decide they don't want you anymore, so they take what you've got. Why are we talking like this so early in the morning? It's a wonderful day. You look splendid. She looks absolutely splendid.
Oh,
I must say, this it's not just the voice you're listening to. It's a black dress and gorgeous eyes and headphones.
Oh, well, the headphones are in the finishing touch, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, we met once before. It was about probably 3 or 4 years ago when the album Phobia came out.
Mm.
And you were with Dave. And you were out and about together. And your brothers. So there's obviously that sibling thing going on. But I had so much fun listening to the two of you bickering. How much of that is real?
Bickering? Were we?
You were bickering.
I think it's obviously real because I didn't think I was bickering. It's difficult, you know, relatives being in a business with them. And being in a band is less like, you know, it's like being, you know, riding a horse all the time. Yeah. Somebody said trying to cut a Kinks record was like taming a lion. It was a cutting engineer who had a nervous breakdown after he recorded a cut. You remember when he cut a record?
Mm-hmm.
He cut a live album and he had to go on a special course to actually learn how to be a person again. Because it was all very aggressive and then it was loving and caring. It's like our music, really. It moves from that one style to another. And I think this show is like it as well, because although it's just me on the stage with a guitarist, the band are very present. Because it's a lot of the stories in the book are about the band. And I wouldn't be there without them. So it's a very odd experience to be with yet without.
You know, it is a legendary thing about, you know, your relationship with Dave, that you guys did fight a lot and one or the other was quitting the band. But in the book, you're very protective of him. You speak very lovingly of
him. Well, it's because I was brought up to look after him. You know, it's my baby brother, I suppose. And coming from a family where there was a lot of girls first and there was a huge gap, then it was Dave and myself and Dave, I did have to look after him. And I think I followed that on in sort of adulthood. And I suppose I'm a sort of a parent as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch over. It's only a few years between us, but you do feel that responsibility.
And watching out for him on the road, of course, living the rock and roll lifestyle. Now you tell a lot of stories about Dave and how wild he was. I had always heard that you were pretty wild too, but in the book, you're fairly tame.
I'm the quiet one.
You're just more secretive about it?
Yeah, I go out at night.
When nobody's watching.
Yeah.
The book is full of stories about on the road, about the troubles you had.
You can't say that R.D. in the book, the R.D., the character that I'm writing about, who's me when I'm 70-odd, is a quiet, subdued fellow.
No, that's true.
He's pretty wild.
But you don't tell the wild tales about your time on the road. You were, you know, during a lot of this, you were married and you were the faithful husband, or so it seemed. Or you hinted at other things, but you never told details where you, boy, told all about Dave. Now, Dave also has a book coming out, is that right?
I don't know.
We hear his book is called Kink and it's out in England, but not here yet.
I wonder why. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because
really?
I've been doing this tour now for 8-9 months. So I haven't really kept in touch with what Dave was doing. But I spoke to him last week. But it was a mistake. I got through to him on the phone. I phoned the studio and he was there. Hello. He picked up the phone. Hello. I said, oh, hello. Is that Dave? Hello. So I hung up.
You did not.
Well, you know the way. But it's difficult to keep track of things. This show is like taken over. It's only meant to be a promotional thing. You know, it's like turned into something quite massive.
You did one night here about 6 months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, October, November.
And great, back for at least 4 nights, possibly 5. There's a story in the book. I want to play another song. A lot of the songs, you talk about how you write them, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that in the live show. One story really stood out, and it was Waterloo Sunset. Mm. And will you tell the circumstances behind this?
Well, like I said earlier, the Kinks made... What I find fascinating about talking about the band and the music on stage, and it may sound odd me actually being in the band, but it's not until I get up and do it in this show I realize how diverse our music is. And like I said earlier, we can do a sort of thing like All Day and All the Night, and a sort of violent type song. And then do a sort of very loving ballad. it's strange. And Waterloo Sunset was one of those sort of ballads. And I thought the lyrics were so wimpy, I daren't play them in front of the guys. I thought they would laugh.
So you did all the instrumental tracks and even the backup vocals without them ever hearing what the lyrics were.
Yeah.
And you recorded the lyrics alone.
Last, yeah, did it last. Well, I thought if they laughed, it would put me off. You know, just because I'm experienced and I've done this a lot doesn't mean to say I'm not confident, and I'm not. You know, my confidence can be broken. You know, being in a band, part of being in a band is that you listen to one another. And if Mick Avery didn't like something I did, he'd just laugh. And I think, oh no, if Mick doesn't like it, I can't do this. And Dave as well. You know, it's just it's the way things are with a band, our band. And this song was so close to the lyric. I thought it would be a shame if I couldn't do it the way I wanted.
So the first time they heard it finished was the finished product?
The finished mix, yeah.
And what was the reaction?
I said, oh, it's horrible.
But some others
they liked it. They're always very polite about my music, the band, because obviously after I've written a couple of number ones and hits and stuff, they said, oh, let him take over the writing. And I did. But after that, they didn't really cast judgment until they saw the charts.
Mm.
You know, they all liked Sunny Afternoon. I remember they all liked that. And they all said, oh, that would be a big hit. But with Waterloo Sunset, he didn't say anything. I seem to recall nothing.
Well, maybe it had something to do with the fact that it was such a personal thing for you.
Maybe.
And well, let's listen to it.
They were ashamed of it, I think.
No, they were not. Oh, boy. Ray Davies is with us here at FM 101.9. This is a song that he had everything done before he
let
anyone hear.
Not the need, darling. Not the need,
darling. Here with FM 101.9.
Like
Waterloo Sunset, the Kinks on FM 101.9, the author of that song and most of the Kinks songs. Ray Davies is with us here. I want to talk about, in your book again, you tell the history of the band, and you think of rock and rollers, especially in the early days of the Kinks in the 60s, as such a fun, wild time, yet you guys didn't have an easy time of it.
Oh, from day one. I mean, as soon as a pen touched paper, it was litigious.
And was it just because you were so young and didn't really know what
questions
to ask?
Yeah, Dave, you see, Dave, when we went on tour, first tour, Dave was 16. And everywhere we went in the world, we had to get a special visa, a permit for him to work. Mm-hmm. And so it was quite early days. I don't know why it followed us. I think people thought we were a joke band, I think, so we can take advantage of this lot because, you know, they won't last very long. I think the problem we had is that we just kept coming up with songs and hits and doing well and touring. Because what normally happens is a band has a couple of hits and they fall by the wayside. Certainly in those days, there was no career intention. And they thought they could possibly take advantage of us. And so they said, oh, they'll be finished in a couple of records. But the mistake was that they miscalculated. Anyway, I decided not to go to Spain. You know, that's the thing. I thought, well, I couldn't. You know, I had to keep writing.
Right.
It was a really exciting time for me because and maybe it's better than being a painter, you know, better than being at Polish film school, because I ended up doing films anyway. But it was just a fantasy, I suppose. But the law is taken over the music industry now. You know, they're all attorneys, aren't they?
Yeah, and you had your share of them. It seemed like the deeper you got into it, the more people got involved. And how do you know who to trust?
You don't. Best thing is, I think there's a wonderful thing John Lennon said years ago. No, I said it. What did I say? Credit him with it. I said in my book, I say, when in doubt, trust your paranoia. You know, it's because more than likely that will be the end result. And if it's not, it's a happy event, isn't it? I've learned to think like that. But you know, you take it with a bit of humour as well. You know, if I hadn't have had such a great band, I'm not plugging the show, but I keep, Mick Avery, for example, the drummer, he's almost a star of my show because I realise what a mainstay he's been to me over the years. When I've been too serious, and like I said, Waterloo Sunset I thought was too serious at the time, I judged it, miscalculated maybe. But Mick would always put me in my place, you know. He's a riot.
Well, it sounds like Mick and Dave were kind of the goofy guys.
The playmakers.
Bad boys.
Well, I can't get into that.
In your book, anyway, that's...
No,
you don't take credit for any of that.
But we've only got halfway through, you don't know.
I only have 40 pages
But I get
left.
The chick at the end. I get the girl.
Well, and there have been lots of girls, too many to fit into this from just what I know.
Yeah, but there's only one girl. It's Julie Finkel.
You pay off Julie Finkel at the end?
There's a payoff at the end, yeah. It's a big, big payoff.
Okay. You don't know how badly I wanted to finish this before you came in. So, okay. All right, I get the
Julie
Finkel payoff.
Now you can finish it with expectation.
Well, I will finish it this afternoon. All right, so sense of humor in your songs. There are some serious, and there are some you make light of a pretty bad situation. Tell us about Well-Respected Man.
Well, that was the same thing. Our managers, who are also in the show, figure very prominently, were very aristocratic people. And it was a very good idea to manage a pop group, Ray, talk like that. You know, it's the way, sort of, what's his name, Noel Grant?
Peter Grant.
The actor. John Grant.
Hugh Grant.
It's the way Hugh Grant wishes he could talk. But Ray, yes, great fun, just lawsuits, Ray. And they sent me on a holiday thinking I was going to be ill or something. They sent me to this very posh resort, very glamorous resort, where everybody played golf. And I thought, I don't fit in here. And it's like most peculiar experience coming off the road and going to this sort of seaside resort where they played golf. And I couldn't play then. So I wrote the song about the people rather than play golf. I sat on the tee and watched them play and wrote this song about them. And that's how lots of my songs evolve.
It's a Well-Respected Man.
As they say.
Ray Davies is with us at FM 101.9.
'Cause he gets up in the morning, then he goes to work at 9, then he comes back home at 5:30, gets the same train every time. 'Cause his world is built on punctuality, it never fails. And he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively. And his mother goes to meetings while his father pulls the mane, and she stirs the tea with counselors while discussing foreign trade. And she passes looks as well as bills at every suave young man. 'Cause he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively. And he likes his own backyard, and he likes his fags the best, 'cause he's better than the rest, and his own sweat smells the best. And he hopes to grab his father's boot when fate passes on. 'Cause he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively. And he plays a song to Charles, and he goes to the regatta. He adores the girl next door, 'cause he's dying to get at her. But his mother knows the best about the matrimonial stakes, 'cause he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so concerned.
A well-respected man. The Kinks on FM 101.9. Ray Davies is here with us. He's got four shows beginning tonight at the Henry Fonda Theater in Hollywood. I believe there's still some tickets available. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be there Saturday night.
Right.
And it's just great to have you here and talking like this. I've got pages and pages of questions that I want to ask you, and obviously not enough time. Do you ever feel like you were... We talked about the lawsuits and all that, that you kind of had to push your way through everything. I mean, here you wrote, you came up with this idea for a concept album. You had a rock opera, and right before you were supposed to come out with it, there's The Who with Tommy. And the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles were right there with you, and you knew they admired your work, but...
Well, it's one of those things. You can't be the first at everything.
Right.
But I think... At the end of the day, I think it's a question of body of work's important. It's like that whole thing with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when we got inducted. I don't think the Kinks were inducted into it because of their hit success. I think it's the body of work that's important at the
Most
end of the
definitely.
Day.
You and Dave did a show since the last time you were here, I think, at the House of Blues, because I saw you.
The band played the House of Blues last year.
And that was wonderful. I mean,
they were a good laugh, wasn't it?
What a fun, wonderful night.
Yeah.
Any plans to get the band back together again?
Well, we're doing a show on June 1st in Scandinavia. We're doing a very big, you know, about 200,000 people in Stockholm, I think. Yeah. So we're playing there. We're playing Oslo following that. And then we're going to break up, I suppose.
No, you can't. Well, Scandinavia doesn't do us here in L.A.
I know. And I'm sorry about not being able to perform this morning on the guitar, but got to look after the fingers.
It's awfully early, we know that.
Yeah, I'm still amazed how great you look so early in the morning. I wish we had cameras.
We do. We'll have to take a picture. Thank you.
The band is still together, and we're still planning to do things. We're bringing a record out later this year.
To the Bone?
To the Bone, which is basically the completed record. There was a bootleg version of it out a year or so ago, which was really just one CD. But there are about 35 tracks on this.
Now, are there new songs on this?
Yeah, there's some new songs.
And some old ones, new, like, live versions?
Yeah. But we've done some real gems on this new version. This is new. We've done The Village Green again. We've done songs that nobody's ever heard of. It's really a good record. So we're still, you know, active, you know.
And you do talk to Dave.
Oh, yeah, of course, all the time. I'm always telling him what to do. I mean, I'm sorry, I slip at the tongue. I'm always conversing with him. Yeah, sure. I'll always talk to him. Anytime, Dave, anytime you have problems, come over and see me. Uh-huh. Make an appointment.
I hate to do this because, Ray, I could sit here for hours talk to you. And this is so much fun. But they're telling me you have to go over to Channel 5 and tape some stuff
there. Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, as you're leaving and we're taking a picture together.
Something for me to walk out with. What shall I walk out to as I leave?
You tell me.
I suppose Lola, I suppose.
We can easily do that.
Yeah, that's all.
Just had it in my hand.
She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A. Lola, Lola, Lola. Well, I'm not the world's most physical guy, but when she squeezed me tight she nearly broke my spine. Oh my Lola, Lola. But talk like a man, oh my Lola, la 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 Lola.
a live version of Lola from the Kinks, and a live interview with Ray Davies, well, recorded live on the air at KSCA FM 101.9 in Los Angeles. Ray Davies and I sort of hit it off. We became friendly, you know, as friendly as I guess one can be with a major rock star. And Westwood One had contacted me to continue our interview, basically, record a little more with him. So I got to meet Ray at the airport as he was leaving for England, and we continued our conversation. So we'll get that up here on Radio or Not one of these days. Lots more coming, so be sure to check back, tell your friends we're here, and feel free to pass along your comments, suggestions, thoughts, anything on the blog. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for joining me on Radio or Not.